While I was growing up, I remember having the privilege of watching a very fascinating experience on the farm of watching a baby chick hatch. You ever watch a baby chick hatch? It's really a mesmerizing experience. Because you watch this little baby chick try to peck its way out of this hard shell that's holding it in bondage. And you watch this little chick struggle and strain, trying to work itself out of this prison. And then it gets tired, fatigued, rests for a little while, and then resumes trying to work its way out of this encased shell that's holding it in bondage until it finally is free from the shell. Now, watching this chick do this is almost as painful as it is for them going through the process. And the temptation is, as you're watching all this, is you want to reach in and try and pull away some of the shell and help them out. But there's a danger in that. Because in trying to help them, you may do more harm than good. Because there is a purpose in their struggle. Their struggle is necessary to their survival. It's all part of God's plan that helps them utilize their untried strength in order to develop them into greater maturity to survive. When I read God's word, I see the same thing. I see that God allows you to go through trials and tribulations, struggles, strains. And some of you here this morning are wondering, why am I going through this? God, where are you at? Some of you, perhaps, are even wondering, God, are you even real? And God says, I'm allowing these things to happen in your life because there is a purpose in your pain. I appreciate the Bible because God does not try to tell us like it's not, but He tells it like it is. And the Bible says this, that you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through difficulties. And some of you are thinking, you didn't need to tell me that. I already know that. But God knows it as well. And He allows us to go through these trials, these struggles, these difficulties, because He has a plan in them. And that purpose, that plan in them is always for our good. In fact, God makes this solemn promise to us. The Bible says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. The Bible simply says this, that when we have difficulties and trials and struggles, they are for our own good because they bring out the family likeness of Christ in us. The question is this, are you allowing God to work that way in your life? How are you responding to the trials and the struggles and the difficulties you're going through in your life? This morning we're going to look at a very difficult and yet needed passage. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we're going to look at three verses, verses 3 through 5 this morning. Let me read these for you. And listen carefully what Paul says. He says, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Paul says the whole purpose of God allowing these difficulties to happen in your life is to bring out the very family likeness of Christ in you. It's for your good. But this morning, we're going to look at this whole idea, this subject of suffering. I think it is as important to talk about because it is going to happen to you sooner or later in your life. And so God gives us in His Word, I think, something so important for us to really understand as we wrestle through the suffering, the struggles, the distresses we face in our lives. And I want us to understand what that is. We saw last week this, that the benefits of God's justification, that is being saved by faith, that there are benefits that take place in our lives. One of those is we have peace with God. We are no longer at war with God, nor is God at war with us. We have peace that is eternal now with God. The Bible says also that we now have access to God. We have bold and confident and humble access to God, a child to his or her parent, anytime, 24/7, to the very access of God. So we not only have peace with God, we have access to God, but he says we also have a hope now that is a confident hope to live by. This morning, we're going to look at two more benefits of what it means to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Both of them have to do with suffering. The first one is this, is that one of the benefits of being justified by faith is it now gives us a whole new perspective on our problems, on the things we go through that are difficult. And second, we will never be alone. So first of all, this, we now have a new perspective on our problems. Paul says this in verse 3 and 4. And not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. Now, when Paul says, and not only this, he is connecting this thought with the former thought, where he said this, we exult in the hope of the glory of God, and not only this, we exult also in our tribulations. Now, it's one thing to exult, and the word there, exult, is to rejoice, to boast. It's one thing to rejoice in our salvation, the hope we have in God, but it's another thing entirely to rejoice in our tribulations. What is Paul talking about? Listen carefully. Paul is talking about what God is doing in you right now. He's talking about spiritual maturity. It's one thing that when you come to Christ and you experience that exhilarating joy of knowing that I am forgiven, I am no longer an enemy of God, God is no longer my enemy, that I now have eternal salvation. There is that joy that we rejoice in. But there is another joy as well. Another rejoicing. And that is that we also exult, he says, in our tribulations. What is he saying by all this? The most important word in these two phrases, these two thoughts, he says we exult in the hope of the glory of God and we also exult in our tribulations. The most important word that shapes Paul's thinking to help us understand is that little preposition in. We exalt in hope, and we exalt in our tribulations. Paul is not saying that we rejoice because we are suffering. He is not saying that we rejoice because we're suffering or that for our suffering or that we are suffering. But he says rather we rejoice in our suffering. Paul is saying this, that we rejoice as believers, now that we have God's salvation, we rejoice as believers because we know something that others don't about suffering. That God has given us a perspective that we did not formerly have as we go through the trials and difficulties in our lives. And that's something, he says, is this. He says that our tribulations bring about something. They bring about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. That word there brings about, katergadzamai, simply means that God is working inside of you something that was not formerly there. He's accomplishing, he's developing something in you going through those sufferings that was not formerly a part of your life. Now listen carefully what he's talking about here. The word tribulations here literally means a suffering that involves, the idea behind this is a pressure, a squeezing, a crushing that we go through in our lives as we go through the difficulties that we experience. And Paul says God allows these things to happen in our lives because God is at work developing something in you that was not formerly there as you go through this intense time of crushing and squeezing and pressure in your life. That God is going to accomplish something through that. The Chinese have a great word for this. It's the word crisis. And in a Chinese language, it's made up of two characters. The first character has the idea of danger. Danger is that sense of urgency that something is desperately wrong. It could be anything that we're going through that threatens to destroy the equilibrium of our life. It might be grief or anger or guilt or discouragement or depression. Whatever it is, it consumes your life and threatens to disrupt the equilibrium of your life. But the other Chinese character with crisis is a word that means opportunity. That is the prospect of change, of growth, to become something that you were formerly not. Now, Paul is simply saying this, I know there is pain in life. I know there is suffering. I know there are trials and problems and distress. And he says, trust me, I've had more than my fair share. I understand suffering. And I think that's important for us to remember as we read what Paul is saying here. This is not someone who is speaking this, who does not know whereof he's speaking, but rather Paul knows exactly what he's talking about. I'm reminded of an incident in Paul's life among many in Acts chapter 16 where the Apostle Paul and Silas have been imprisoned in a Philippi prison. They've been beaten severely, stripped, and their feet placed in stocks in the basement, if you will, of this prison. And it says in verse 25 of chapter 16 that when it was midnight, that Paul and Silas were praying. And listen to this, singing hymns to God, and all the other prisoners were listening. The reason they were singing is because they knew that in the middle of that suffering, God had a purpose in it that was bigger than they understood. And therefore, in the midst of that suffering, they could then rejoice. I want to challenge you that when you're going through a difficulty, when you're going through a trial, some kind of pain, the last thing you want to do is rejoice, isn't it? And yet your faith, which should be greater than your feelings, should prescribe for you the response to this situation is not one of feeling sorry for myself, not one of moping and groaning and complaining, but rather the one that says, God, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to praise your name because I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, but God, you're going to bring good out of this. That is called having a perspective on your problems, knowing that God is sovereign, and therefore I'm going to rejoice. In my tribulations, when I'm being squeezed, when I feel the pressure, when that crushing sense of weight is pressing down on me, I'm going to rejoice because I'm confident, though I don't feel like it, but I'm choosing a perspective that says, I know, God, you're in control, and I know, God, you know what you're doing, and I know that what I'm going through right now is not meaningless, that there is a purpose in the pain, and that it will all be worthwhile. Paul goes on to say, quoting from 2 Corinthians, listen to what he says, for our present troubles, and that word there, troubles, is the exact same word as tribulations here, the squeezing, the pressure, the crushing. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. And yet they produce, and this same word produce here is the same word, katergadzamai, brings about something that was not formerly there. These same troubles are going to now produce in us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Now listen to what he says. So we don't look at the troubles, the tribulations that we can now see. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but things we cannot see will last forever. He goes on a little later in Romans and says, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal in us. Paul is speaking from his own personal experience. He's saying, I've gone through trials, persecution, all kinds of hardships in life, and I've learned this one consistent truth all the way through it, no matter what I've gone through, whether it's beatings or shipwrecks or being misunderstood or being lied about or slander or whatever it is. He says, I've learned this one thing, that God is faithful and that God will bring you through it. And that God wants you to have this one perspective as you're going through those trials, and the pain, the distress, the discouragement is so acute, so strong, it overpowers your ability to even believe that God is there. Paul says, nonetheless, you need to trust that God is sovereign. He is there. He knows what's going on, and he wants to develop in you something that was not there before through persevering, through going through the difficulty that you're going through. But unless you go through that, he cannot develop that. And so God is saying to you, will you trust me? My child, will you trust me? When the pain is greater than you can bear, when you don't understand why, when there seems to be no end in sight, will you trust me? Will you trust me? God has a purpose in your pain. And that purpose is to develop what he calls three things: perseverance, proven character, and hope. Perseverance, proven character, and hope. First, he wants to develop in us a perseverance. The word literally means the ability to stand up under pressure, to bear up under the pressure. The word picture that he has in mind is a weightlifter that is lifting a heavy bar with weight on it, and he's straining underneath the pressure of that weight. And that weightlifter understands something. Why is he doing that? Because he knows that if there is no pain, there is no gain. And so this idea of perseverance means staying in, staying under the pressure. Persevering is the ability to stay under the pressure no matter what. We could use words like patience or endurance or stability. But God uses difficulties in our life to develop perseverance, to teach us to handle the pressure. Now, what usually happens to us when we find ourselves in a place where the pressure is more than we want it to be? It's more painful than we can understand. Guess what we do? We panic, don't we? And we look for the easiest, the fastest way out. We say, I'm out of here. I'm done. And yet God says, I want you to stay there. I don't want you to panic. I have a purpose where you're at. I want you to remain in the battle. You see, some of you may be going through a marriage right now that you're really struggling, a relationship, and you feel the pressure is more than you can handle. There may be something going on at work right now that you're struggling under the strain, the pressure that feels crushing, and you want out. You may be going through a physical struggle right now and asking God, when is this ever going to end? Why, God, are you allowing this to happen? And God says, will you trust me? Will you remain under this pressure? that I can develop in you perseverance, the ability to stand strong under pressure. You see, our tendency is to want to panic and escape, isn't it? To leave as quickly as we can. I'm reminded of a passage in Scripture, in fact, it's recorded in the Gospels, of a time that Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. He got into the boat and he told the disciples, "Let's go to the other side." And while they were on their way to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a severe storm suddenly hits the sea. It is so severe, in fact, the waves are coming up over the edge of the boat, and the boat is rocking back and forth. And now these are seasoned fishermen. They've been in all kinds of weather on this sea. But they're panicked that they're going to lose their lives. And they turn to look to Jesus, and Jesus is laying in the stern of the boat with his head on a pillow, sound asleep in the middle of the storm. And they wake him up. You can just about see it, can't you? They crawl across the boat and they shake him. "Hey, hey, hey." And they say, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And Jesus is sound asleep to the entire thing. Mark chapter 4, verse 40, Jesus says something very interesting. He stills the storm. And then he says to them this. He says, "Why are you afraid? Why are you panicking?" Then he says to them this, he says, "Where is your faith? How come you're not having faith right now?" Boy, that is so true for us, isn't it? We find ourselves in a distressful situation where the pressure is intense and we want to escape and we panic and we say, "God, where are you at? Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm perishing?" And God says, "I know exactly what's going on right now. In fact, you see, I allowed this storm in your life. Because you see, I want to develop something in you that was not there formerly. I want to develop in you a proven character, a perseverance, a strength of faith that you did not have prior to going through this experience." So my question to you, my child, is this: will you trust me in this? Will you trust me? You see, sometimes God allows the storm to rage, but calms his child. And sometimes he simply calms the storm. But God knows exactly what you're going through right now. He knows exactly what he wants to accomplish in you through this, to develop perseverance in you. And perseverance, he says, will now develop proven character. Think of it this way. Perseverance is the process. Proven character is the product. It's what remains standing after you've gone through the trial. After the storm is finished, what is left? Either an uprooted tree or a tree that is still fastened securely to the ground, now tested, proven, and reliable. You see, suffering doesn't make character. Suffering reveals character in your life. In fact, this word, proven character, has the idea of a metalsmith that is heating precious metals, gold and silver, and purifying them. And when they do, and they get to a certain temperature, whatever impurities are in those precious metals rise to the surface, and they skim them off. Someone once asked a silversmith, "How do you know? How do you know when silver is pure?" He said, "Simple." He said, "But I can see my reflection in the silver." God is purifying your life right now. And you say, "Why are you doing this?" God is saying, "Because I want to see the family likeness of Christ more in your life. I want to see the image of my Son in your life." You see, there is a purpose in the pain that God is allowing in your life, the struggles that you're going through right now. More than 60 years ago, a couple by the name of Victor and Mildred Gortzel published a study. There was a fascinating study of 413 famous and exceptionally gifted people. In fact, they nicknamed them Cradles of Eminence. And Victor and Mildred spent years trying to understand What produced the greatness in these 413 people? And as they began to examine their lives, they saw a common thread that ran through most of them that stood out. And that one common thread was this: that of the 413, 392 of them had overcome a very difficult obstacle or obstacles in order to become who they were. 95% of them had gone through great difficulties in order to become who they were. Maybe you're asking this morning, God, why are you allowing this to happen in my life? God says, I have a purpose in it. I want to see my reflection in your life. And I know that you'll not understand, but one day you will. I know that your faith is struggling, but when you come to the end of it, it'll be stronger. And I'm allowing this to take place in order to give you proven character. So Paul says that we go through these difficulties, these tribulations, this pressure, this squeezing, this crushing process in our lives, that God knows fully what it is. He allows it to happen. He knows how long it's going to happen. He knows what the purpose of it is. He allows that to happen in our lives to develop, first of all, perseverance, to stay in, to stay under the pressure. There are times that you may be doing the right thing and people don't understand. And you want to leave. You want to escape. And God says, no, I want you to stay. Keep doing what is right even though the pressure is there. Keep saying what is right even though the pressure is there. Keep doing what is right no matter what. Because when you go through that, you'll have proven character, and that proven character will reveal the family likeness of Christ more and more and more. But there's a third that God wants to develop in us, and that is hope. Perseverance develops proven character, and proven character produces hope. And this hope confidently assures us that what we're suffering is not in vain. I think one of the most scary and threatening thoughts that we have when we're going through our difficulties is this. We feel like, God, I don't think you even exist. And God, if you do exist, I feel like what I'm going through right now is completely in vain. And yet God says, I want to develop in you a hope that assures you that what you're suffering right now is not in vain. But it does more than simply that. This hope gives us a strength that no matter how many trials come into our lives, our hope only becomes stronger and stronger. I appreciate Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse in his commentaries on the book of Romans helps put what Paul is saying here in perspective for us. Dr. Barnhouse says this, that Paul is not saying here that we are to have an otherworldly attitude that is disconnected, doesn't operate in reality, but rather an otherworldly attitude in a different sense. An otherworldly attitude in the same sense as you look at these lights in this room right now that are illuminating this room with light. He says they are to have an otherworldly sense about them, just like we are to have an otherworldly sense about us. Now, here's how he explains it. The lights that we see right now hanging in the room are connected to a power plant far away from here. And there is a power, a current, that is coming through those lines that eventually comes to those light bulbs that gives us the light. But if you were to sever that current to stop the power, those lights would be completely useless and this room would be dark. And so he says in the same way that every Christian is empowered by the very power of heaven in order to shine in the world around us. And so your life is to be a life that is so connected to the current of God, so to speak, that as you go through those trials, you go through those difficulties, God's power is illuminating your life, allowing people to see that that power inside of you is not you. It's God in you. It is a source greater than your own human ability. So Jesus says it this way, let your light shine before men, so they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, when people look at your life and they see the trials and the difficulties, the suffering you're going through, what's the first thing we tend to do? Let's just be honest. What's the first thing we tend to do? We grumble, we complain. I mean, if somebody will give us 5 minutes, we'll take 20 minutes to tell them about how bad things really are. Right? How you doing today? Do you really want to know? I don't know. Yeah, okay. And we take 20 minutes to share with them our grumbling and our complaining and our misery. What is God saying? Stop feeling sorry for yourself. I have a purpose in what you're going through right now. Now, God takes no joy in the pain we go through. Don't misunderstand God's purpose. No more than a parent enjoys watching their child endure necessary pain for their good. I remember years ago, our youngest was going in for her first immunization shots. And she would smile at everybody, was friendly to everybody. We thought, oh no. When the doctor put her in his lap and he had the injection needles, She smiled at him and she bubbled over with just great glowing face. And my wife says, I can't watch this. I have to leave the room. Left me there. But I knew what was coming. And I watched as she was going through that necessary pain. The bright smile on her face suddenly turned to one of shock and pain. And she cried out. And I realized at that moment in time what it must have been like in a small way is God, our Heavenly Father, watched His Son go through that necessary pain of the cross. And his heart must have broke as he watched his Son cry out in pain, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I understood at that moment of time that there are times in our lives where God will allow you to go through these difficulties. He'll allow you to experience the pain. Not because he takes any joy in it. It breaks his heart. He does not want to see it happen, but he knows that pain is necessary to the goal that he wants to accomplish in our lives for his glory. And so God is saying, will you trust me? Though you may feel abandoned by me right now, though you may not understand what you're going through right now, will you trust me? Because I want to develop in you perseverance. And through that perseverance, a proven character, so that the next time you come into a tribulation, a trial, a difficulty, guess how your whole perspective will be different? You'll be like the Apostle Paul says, you know what? I can handle this. Been here, done that. And I know I can trust God no matter what. And I know something else, that all of this is nothing compared to the glory that one day I will know. And so it gives us a hope that confidently assures us that no matter how great, how long, or how difficult the suffering is, it is never, never in vain, that God has a purpose in it. Paul says this. The second benefit of this is this, that we will never be alone. And hope, he says, does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given us. Wow. He's saying that when we become a believer, when you step across that line of faith and you humble yourself before God and you say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and now I'm surrendering my life to Him, everything to Him. I give my life to Him, and I ask Him to be my Savior. The moment you do that, the Bible says you are filled with the very presence and the power of God Himself in the Holy Spirit. And when God, the Holy Spirit, fills your life, he fills your life with his love, but it is not a mere trickle, but really a lavish outpouring of God's love in your life. And it begins to transform your life from the inside out. Jesus said it this way, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And when God pours out his Holy Spirit inside your life, it happens the moment you believe, you receive. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, from that moment forward into all eternity, God's love abides with you. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." You see, listen carefully, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and you've surrendered your life to Jesus, you've asked him to be your Savior, God says, "I want to promise you this. I guarantee you that I am filling you with my Holy Spirit. The very presence of God dwells inside of you. And not merely as a small trickle, but rather a lavish outpouring of his love in your life." And God says, "I will be with you forever in that love. I will never leave you nor forsake you." I think this is so important for us to understand. Because like you, there have been moments in my life where I have seriously questioned the existence of God. I've wondered, is God really faithful? Will he keep his word? I've wondered, God, have you abandoned me? God, are you allowing this to happen because you're punishing me in my life? And there are moments of that crushing pressure that force us to examine our faith. Now, those may be the tempting thoughts you have. God, are you real? God, do you know? God, do you care? God, are you punishing me? Those may be the temptations you have, but your faith through God's word must inform you how you must respond to those things. And here's what I've learned. That every time I've gone through those difficulties, and there are times, believe you me, that I felt completely alone. But in my aloneness, I'm reminded in my faith, I'm not alone. God is with me. God knows exactly what he's doing. And therefore, no matter how much I may feel alone, I know in fact that I am not. And God says, "I am with you. I am faithful. I've promised I will never leave you nor forsake you." You see, the security of your relationship does not depend on your ability to hold on to me, but rather my ability to hold on to you. The Bible says this, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." God not only keeps you, but he is committed to growing you into maturity. For God is at work in you both to will and to work according to his good pleasure, and that he who began a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. You see, I think we have to be very real in our faith. Because the only way we can really get to the very core of what we really believe is we first have to say, you know what, Lord, I have been vulnerable. I've been tempted to those things of saying, God, I'm not sure if you're real. And I say that because I know every single one of us at one time or another have faced that. But you have a choice how you're going to respond. Am I going to respond with my feelings or am I going to respond with faith? Say, you know what, God, I trust you no matter what. And God says the reward of trusting me no matter what is far beyond what you could begin to ever comprehend or understand. that it's worth doing what is right, it is worth trusting, it is worth enduring, it is worth keeping on, no matter what, far more than you have any idea. Charles Spurgeon, who was a great Baptist preacher, understood this as well as anyone. On his bedroom wall, there was a plaque with Isaiah 48:10 on it, where God says, "I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." And Spurgeon wrote these words, "It is no mean thing to be chosen of God. God's choice makes chosen men choice men. We are chosen," he says, "not in the palace, but in the furnace. In the furnace," he says, "beauty is marred, fashion is destroyed, strength is melted, glory is consumed. Yet here eternal love reveals its secrets and declares its choice." I like that. He's right. Feel like you're in God's furnace? God's goal is to grow you, to mature you into the family likeness of His Son. And the sufferings, the difficulties, the trials, the hardships are part of that plan that God has for you. There's a purpose in His pain. The question is, do you recognize it? Paul did. And he recognized that same power that was at work in him to bring about his salvation, his justification, his peace with God, access with God, is the same power that was at work in the trials and difficulties and suffering of life as well. It led Paul to say this, "Therefore, I'll rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." We rejoice not because we're suffering or that we're suffering, but we rejoice in our suffering because we know God is producing something in us that others may not know. And He has chosen not simply to make you aware that you're now saved, but He has chosen to deepen that awareness into a spiritual maturity that He allows these trials to develop, to grow, to become inside of you. Let me ask you this question this morning. As you go through the trials and difficulties you're going through, are you complaining? Are you grumbling? Or are you turning to Christ and saying, "Lord, I don't understand this. I don't like it. But by faith, I choose to embrace what you're doing. And I give you thanks for the trials I'm going through because I know you have a purpose in the pain. And I'm going to trust you no matter what because there is no better way. There's nothing else that makes sense but to trust you in these trials." Where are you at this morning? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you know, "My life is great. I don't have any trial. In fact, I'm not even sure why I'm listening to this morning. I didn't come here to hear a downer. I came here to be excited and encouraged." But God has you here for a purpose because He wants you to hear this. Maybe your life is good right now. Praise God for that. But when you do go through those trials, when you do go through those sufferings, don't forget what God has shown you. Remember, He is faithful. Remember, He knows what He's doing. Remember that He loves you. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? We're going to prepare for communion in just a moment, but will you pray with me as we do? This morning, wherever you're sitting, will you humble yourself before God? No matter what you're going through right now, what you're facing, even the questions you may have, would you turn to God right now and say, "Lord, I don't understand. I don't know how long you're going to allow this trial in my life. But Lord, I choose not to look for a way of escape. I choose not to complain and grumble. I choose not to believe that you've abandoned me or you're punishing me. Instead, Lord, I choose to believe and trust you that you have a purpose in the pain. You know what you're doing. You know what you want to accomplish in me. And so, Lord, I pray right now. In faith, I open my life to you and I say, Lord, have your way in my life. Not my will be done, Lord, but your will be done in my life. Forgive me, Lord, where I have fought against you. Forgive me, Lord, where I have resisted. And I now choose to trust you, no matter what. And Lord, thank you for the reminder that whatever I'm going through right now, whatever trial it is, compared to eternity with you in heaven, is hardly a flicker in time. That one day I'll look back on all the hardships and the trials and the tribulations, and I will say it was worth it to trust you, Jesus. Oh, it was so worth it to trust you. And so, Lord, help me to keep a perspective that these trials are temporary, and that they're incomparable compared to the glory that one day I will know in your heavenly presence. Father, my prayer for the church is that we would remain faithful. I think of brothers and sisters even right now in other countries that are losing their lives, that you would strengthen, sustain them, enable them to endure, to remain faithful to you no matter what. I pray, Father, for the church in America, that we would remain faithful to you no matter what, that we would not give in to the pressures, the crushing peer pressure of wanting to go woke or give in to transgenderism or anything that the world is trying to water down to limit the power of the gospel. But Lord, we pray the church would remain strong. The true believers would stand up and speak up. Lord, enable us in the workplace, in our families, in our community, to be bold for you, to be clear, and to be faithful. That as people see the trials and difficulties we go through, they would see something at work inside of us that is greater than us. It is you. And they would recognize, Lord, that you are working in us a family likeness of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you made all this possible because of your sacrifice on the cross for us. We give you thanks, Lord. And maybe you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to strongly encourage you. Now is the time to do that. Don't wait. You don't know if you have tomorrow. You don't know what the day is in front of you. Turn to Him now and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And come to Him with a simple prayer in your own heart and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you suffered and died, taking the very penalty of my sins, that I may have your forgiveness and the gift of your eternal life that you purchased for me. I ask you to be my Savior and to come into my life, and I give you thanks. Help me to learn what it means to live in relationship with you. I pray this in your name, Jesus' strong name. Amen.